This is Magnus Carter reporting. This Chancellor, like many before him, is politically averse to being seen to raise taxes. In the autumn statement, he specifically ruled out raising corporation tax. And yet many businesses we've spoken to, including some struggling small businesses, say they'd actually welcome a rise in corporation tax if, and of course only if, it meant getting rid of the unfair burden of business rates. That's because corporation tax applies to profit, so you only pay more if you're more successful, whereas all businesses that have a physical presence, that's to say an office, a shop, a warehouse, or a factory, have to pay business rates regardless of whether or not they're making money. And those rates, up to now, have gone up in line with general inflation, even though rateable value is ostensibly based on rents, and rents have in some cases actually gone down since the last revaluation in 2008. Your business rates are, of course, paid to the local council, but most of the money goes straight into government coffers, so it's the ultimate stealth tax in some respects. The headline from the autumn statement was that increases on business rates from April 2014 will be capped at 2%. The Treasury says 138,000 businesses in the southwest will benefit, though the measure is a long way short of the freeze demanded by the CBI, the Federation of Small Businesses, and Business West, among others. There was also a £1,000 annual discount for small retail premises and a 50% discount for businesses moving into empty premises. However, there'll be no root and branch review of the rating system, at least not yet, though the Chancellor did give just a hint that he may not have ruled that out altogether. George Osborne told the House of Commons that the best way to help businesses is by lowering the burden of tax.
KPMG's report last week confirmed for the second year running that Britain has the most competitive business tax system in the world. Now, some in this House suggest that our response to this good news should be to increase corporation tax from 20%. Today we publish the first of our studies into the dynamic effects of tax changes that show our corporation tax cuts increase investment and raise productivity. So much so that over half of the cost to the Treasury of the tax cut will be recovered because of higher growth. So putting up corporation tax hits investment, cuts productivity, costs jobs, and raises much less. We thank the honourable members for their submission, but we think it would be economic madness to pursue it. Quite the reverse. Today we take further steps to make our business taxes yet more competitive. The budget announcement that we would abolish stamp duty on AIM shares was applauded around the world. Today we also abolish stamp duty for shares purchased in exchange-traded funds to encourage those funds to locate in the UK. We're making our successful film tax relief even more generous and looking to extend the principle, including to regional theatre. We set out major reforms to encourage employee ownership of the kind that makes John Lewis such a success. And from April, we'll be one of the first countries in the world to introduce a new tax relief for investment in social enterprises and new social impact bonds. I want to thank Sir Ronnie Cohen and my honourable friend, the Charities Minister, for all their help in putting this innovative scheme together. Mr. Speaker, business rates impose a heavy burden on businesses of all sizes. Today, we will help ease that burden, and here's how. The last government wanted to halve small business rates relief, a relief which helps cut rates bills for 500,000 companies and means 250,000 of the smallest businesses pay no rates at all. If we had followed that plan, small businesses would have faced a rate increase of up to £3,375. So we've rejected that plan. Instead, we have extended that rate relief scheme year after year. It was due to expire next April. We will now extend it for another whole year. And we've also listened to the small business groups and will relax the rules that discourage these firms from expanding and opening extra premises. But that doesn't go far enough. All businesses are expecting rates to rise by 3.2% next year. Instead, I will cap the inflation increase in business rates for all premises at 2% from next April. Yeah. We will also allow business to pay their rates in 12 monthly instalments. We will clear almost all of the backlog of valuation appeals by July 2015, with reform of business rates on the agenda for 2017 revaluation. But, Mr. Speaker, there is one group of businesses that have found the recession especially hard, as it's coincided with a rising challenge from the internet that is only getting stronger. These are our local retailers, the shops, the pubs, the cafes that make up our high streets across Britain. With Small Business Saturday this weekend, I want the government to do all it can to help them. We're already changing the planning rules to help town centres compete, to get the vacant shops that blight too many town centres to open again. I am introducing a new reoccupation relief that will halve the rates for new occupants. But, Mr. Speaker, we can do more, and I want to thank my honourable friends from Wolverhampton South West, Nuneaton, Hastings and Rye, Brentford and many, many others for their campaign. Like them, I also want to help those who have struggled hard on our high streets, often working long hours for not enough in return. So I can announce today that for the next 2 years, every retail premise in England with a rateable value of up to £50,000 will get a discount on their business rates. This discount will be worth £1,000 off their bills. This is what we offer. Business rates capped. For the smallest firms, no rates at all. And help for the high street. £1,000 off for small shops, pubs, cafes and restaurants across our country. The people in these businesses epitomise the hard-working values this government supports. And we're backing British businesses all the way.
Behind the rhetoric, what's the reality? The Devon resort of Torquay probably has more than its fair share of local retailers struggling to cope with seasonal fluctuations typical in a seaside town. John Doherty is one such. He's been researching the way the complexities of rating rules work in the town, and he's used his findings to support his campaign for much bigger changes than those announced in the autumn statement. Mr. Doherty now runs Dot's Pantry, a well-known coffee shop in the town centre, but he has a previous background working as a senior manager for Tesco, so he feels he's well qualified to highlight the financial realities of the local high street. He's been talking to my colleague Christopher Slade.
Two businesses, two buildings on the same high street, one taking 25,000 and a next door shop taking, say, 2,000 a week, would be paying the same business rates. And that, in my view, is completely unfair.
You've looked into this, haven't you? So give me a bit of background about the kind of research you've done.
I've identified a number of stores and shops in Torquay, which is my hometown where our business is, to just try and see the anomalies. And I've compared Zone A selling space in a number of places. For example, in Argus, it's £500 a square metre. In my shop, it's £427 a square metre. Boots is in the £700. And there's a little pasty shop further down from Boots is £800. And you go down the road a little bit further and come back up the road, and then you have Primark. And they don't have Zone A selling space because it's a big store, but theirs is £90 a square metre.
It's good revenue for a council. It's good revenue for the Treasury. Why change it?
They can make it fair. The council are not in control. The government are in control of business rates, but they could make it fair. For example, if you look at the Sainsbury's turnover, the Willows in out of town, they could pay their entire rateable value with their Christmas week sales. My sales in Dot's Pantry, I would need 8.6 Christmases.
Vince Cable, he is suggesting there should be a review. Do you think he'll get that through the House? Do you think he'll achieve that?
I don't know. The last letter I had from Vince Cable was saying that they were very pleased with the fair way in which business rates were calculated. So whether they will make any changes or not, I'm not convinced.
Because you've presented these figures of yours to several people, including Vince Cable, haven't you?
I sent them to the Prime Minister, and he passed them to Vince Cable to reply, and so that was the reply. But I've also handed my handout to Danny Alexander when we met him here in Torquay.
Where is this going to go? You've done the research. You have some, you know, on the face of it, quite convincing comparisons to make between stores and shop sizes. Where is this going to go next? Are you on a hiding to nothing?
I sometimes think I am, and to be honest, I'm not sure where to go next. I just keep making a noise about it to anyone who'll listen, and I hope to God that at some point somebody will listen. I know that some ministers in government are looking at this, but I'm not convinced they're looking in the right way, because it's my belief that business rates should be linked to sales. There's one shop closed a little way down the road. His rate bill, his business rate bill, was 25 grand a year, and he put that when he closed. He put that as the reason, as a notice on his window, as the reason he was closing.
Is this having an impact you can see on the high street?
Yes, indeed. Those shops that are taking smaller amounts of money are finding this a bigger burden. Indeed, if you look at Amazon's business rates, I think you'll find they're paying something like £45 a square metre, which is completely out of order, really, and especially when you believe that they're taking 40% of the sales out of the high street.
So, in a nutshell, your message to the Prime Minister?
Level playing field, please.
This is Magnus Carter. You join me strolling down Meadow Street in Weston-super-Mare. We're just a few hundred yards inland from the famous pier and just a couple of minutes from the high street. There's a branch of Holland & Barrett over there, a fish restaurant a little bit further up, a pub, and a few boarded-up premises for sale or rent, much the sort of thing you expect to find in our towns these days. But there are also quite a few interesting local retail businesses, like Fleece from Lease, fabrics and sewing accessories, and just over there, Lock and Key for, well, locks and keys, I suppose. And the shop I've just emerged from, Outdoors and Active, owned and run by Paul Batts. Now, Paul is chairman of the Western Business Improvement District, BID, covering the streets around us here. Through BID, the business owners around here are working hard to make this area more attractive for locals and visitors alike, to pull in the shoppers, in the retail jargon, to increase footfall. I've been talking to Paul about these tough times for on-street retailers. He told me businesses in this area are fighting hard, but business rates makes it feel like they're fighting with one hand tied behind their backs.
What's been happening over recent years is a lot of the small businesses find that in real terms, not all landlords, but some landlords have been reasonable to the businesses in the premises. And as a rule, a lot of rents have actually come down in the last few years to accommodate the sort of times that we're going through. The problem with business rates is that they've not changed.
Because we're still the idea, of course, that they're based on rentable values, but in fact, yes, those rentable values are based on 2008 prices.
Absolutely, and a lot of the delay seems to be put on the hope that the good times will come back, and so if they keep stalling the review on it, by the time it actually happens, the better times will have come back, and when things get better, people are less likely to complain about it. But at the moment, obviously, times are hard for a lot of small businesses, and rates to a small business are a very big issue.
Is it especially a big problem for retailers? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, mostly retailers, because it is a cost that, as a business, you don't really see any benefit for. It's not like we get our waste taken away as a business. You have to pay for that as a separate thing. Times are hard at the moment for a lot of the small businesses. Everyone's being squeezed by big multiples. Internet trading is another thing. Some small traders are doing well with that. Some it does have an effect, and of course parking as well in certain areas is an issue. We've been quite lucky with a change in parking locally that has helped more people come into the area, but I know it's a big issue in a lot of places.
So there are lots of challenges that you face, and business rates is a massive, massive cost, isn't it? Is it the biggest single cost that you face beyond the rent?
For a lot of businesses, it's actually becoming the biggest cost. So normally, yes, it's the biggest cost behind the rent, but for some people, it's actually becoming the largest cost.
So what's the solution here? I mean, short term, I know you'd like to see a freeze, but that doesn't solve the problem, does it? This is a basically unfair system of taxation for small businesses.
It really needs to be looked at, and a fairer system needs to be worked out. It's one of the reasons that why a lot of businesses like ourselves that would love to be nearer the high street or the main footfall within certain towns, but from a price point of view, you just can't do it. A, the rents go up hugely, but as soon as you have a high street postcode, yes, also your rates go exponentially higher. And of course, it leads into another problem that we've been talking about, which is the reason that nationally a lot of town centres are slowly disappearing. We've lost a few units in Weston-super-Mare recently where they've had multiple occupancies. So they might have a big unit out on a retail park, but they're actually paying the same amount of money to have a unit in the town centre, which is probably a tenth of the size. So of course, a lot of these nationals are saying, I'm just going to stick with the big unit out of town because there's free parking there, and I'm paying the same money for something that's 10 times the size. It's part of the reason that a lot of the town centres are losing their core businesses, and why I'm personally fighting for the, you know, the independent areas of the town, because they're going to be the only interesting areas left. All the high streets are getting very, very similar nowadays.
So we have the government bringing in this rather glossy idea of the high street czar, Mary Porter's, promoting her wares in various parts of the country. The real solution lies in taxation, doesn't it? If we can reduce the cost burden for retailers, it will be worthwhile opening up in the high street.
Absolutely. And another thing is that a lot of people don't realise that with having more independent traders within a town centre environment, more money goes back into the local economy, which is another important thing for the growth of certain areas, because whilst we will always have certain chains in the high streets, a lot of their costs and things are dispersed through head offices, so some of that money doesn't go back into the local area. So if we want to regenerate all our towns, which most people would appreciate, you know, is a national problem, because over the years there's parks have sprung up on the outskirts of lots of towns, and there's free parking, you know, and a lot of units, it's just drawing the life out of the centre. But some places have done very well. If you think of the places like Brighton, have the lanes, the corridors in Bath, those are, you know, those are good independent trading areas, and that's what we're trying to work towards within Orchard Meadows in Weston-super-Mare, and other places are doing. But yes, business rates is a big issue as part of that for the smaller traders.
Because it's difficult to create that environment when the money simply isn't there, isn't it?
And that's one of the reasons that the Business Improvement District came about, is that it's a self-funding thing. We, like a lot of towns around the country, realised that it was unlikely that anything was going to happen unless we actually made some of it happen ourselves and maybe start some of that regeneration.
So you're doing your best. You're not just standing around whinging. You're working very hard to improve this district. Does it feel like sometimes you're fighting with one hand tied behind your back because of business rates?
It does, yes. It is something that we have no control over. We can try and improve trading environments, you know, we can try networking the businesses. But yes, there is this millstone round people's neck. It's just too high, you know, that's the problem. The businesses wouldn't begrudge paying it if they could see some benefit for it. But as business owners, you really don't get a lot of benefit from it.
So two options would be for more of that money to be retained locally and put back into services to businesses, or else for the tax to be as corporation taxes, related in some way to your success, to profit, for example.
Yes, people would feel happier if there was a realistic relation to their business. There's a lot of good little businesses out there, but we just need that little bit of help to really make the difference.
Paul Batts of Outdoors and Active in Weston-super-Mare, and before that, John Doherty of Dot's Pantry in Torquay. Of course, retailers are by no means the only ones who have problems with business rates. That's why South West Business News is supporting the campaign for a root and branch reform. Tessa Munt, Liberal Democrat MP for Wells, is struggling to draft a bill which would bring about that reform. She's a junior minister at the Department of Business, Innovation and Skills, and has the support of her boss, the Business Secretary Vince Cable. But she told me, it's going to be easier said than done.
There are businesses that fall outside the activities that are captured by business rates because life's moved on. And we now have, for example, a very active internet business sector, which can, because it doesn't always take space on the street, escapes this altogether. So I think we need to look at how we deal with taxing the business sector and try and make it much, much fairer.
On the face of it, it is an extraordinary tax, isn't it?
Yes,
you know, it's index linked, which
yes.
No other tax is.
Yes.
It's collected by local authorities, and yet the Treasury is the...
Yes, it's the beneficiary.
The beneficiary.
And that is going to change a bit. I mean, I think there's been a recognition of the fact that the central government can't just cream off this walloping great chunk of money from businesses and not give anything back to the local area. So the arrangements for that are changing, and the local authority will have growing proportions of business rates. But it's still doesn't make sense of the fact that there is a fundamental unfairness.
So what would your solution be? What solutions does your bill offer?
Well, I haven't got as far as creating a bill yet, because there are one or two things that we need to iron out, but I'm working towards that. At the moment, small and medium-sized businesses tend to pay between 20 and 30% of their turnover in business rates, which is a whacking great slug of money. Big business, whether you measure that by turnover or number of employees, when you look at the percentage they pay of their turnover, it's between 6.5% and 7.5%. if we were able to get to the point where, in some way, we could ask big business to pay between 7.5% and 8.5% of their turnover, then we could take micro, small and medium-sized businesses out of business rates altogether.
So in other words, large businesses would notice very little difference.
Well, it'd be 1% change. Yes, 1% change. I mean, this is a lot of money, but it is just 1%. And it would mean that we take small and medium-sized businesses out altogether. Now, the really important thing about that is that our growth in this country is going to come from small and medium-sized businesses. That's where the jobs are going to come from. And actually here in the Southwest, even more so, because we have the greatest number of small and medium-sized businesses in this area.
But even the large businesses represented, for instance, by the CBI, are calling for a freeze on business rates this year, aren't they? They've asked the Treasury, please let's just stop this gravy train. So even they are feeling the pain.
Everybody is feeling the pain. But why should we hamper those businesses that are going to give us the growth that we need to make sure that the country becomes more competitive, more effective? I'm just going to say the thing that stops us at the moment is trying to work out a fair mechanism for internet business. And the other thing is how we deal with franchises, because there are some franchise companies that you might want to consider as part of a large whole, therefore that becomes a big business. Or how do we deal with individual shops in every high street in every part of the Southwest?
Yeah, because somebody who holds, for instance, a single McDonald's franchise is actually a small business, but in the context of a massive business.
Yes, exactly. So just trying to wrestle with the solution to those two problems at the moment.
So it's not easy, and presumably it's not easy as well, because you politicians are at a disadvantage here, aren't you? Because you're fighting the might of the Treasury.
Absolutely, but my job is to argue, toss with the Treasury, about the fact that it's a short-sighted tax. It's not a fair tax, and it's actually regressive in that it stops people developing. And very often, with the micro and new businesses that I deal with in this area, it's business rates that brings them to a grinding halt and stops them completely. You know, they go out of business. And, you know, there is a basic unfairness in the fact that there's not been a proper review of the basis on which this tax is charged, because, you know, we need to have a revaluation. And I suspect the Treasury is dead scared of that, because it will find that commercial rents and values have dropped. So we've got a constantly rising business rate situation and rents that are dropping. And if we revalued, we'd find that there was less money coming in.
Well, indeed. And many small businesses have spoken to us about exactly that issue. Their rents have actually gone down and saved them money. But that's been more than compensated by the fact that the business rate, though it's supposed to be linked to rentable value, goes on escalating.
I know. And it is desperately unfair. And we have to win this battle.
But if your colleagues in government were serious about this and supported your move, they've missed an opportunity, haven't they? Because they've postponed a revaluation.
Well, you know, George Osborne has to face up to the fact that this is not a good idea. And I and some of my colleagues have been to see him about this. We go on and on and on about this. And my view is, if somebody has a tin ear to this sort of thing, and they're not hearing, then the way to do this is to try and get the drafting of a bill sorted out and just keep going, keep going, keep going.
So this looks set to be a long battle.
Oh,
then, you're well short yet of actually drafting the bill, because
We've got some of it. Some of it's drafted. Some of it's drafted, but there are some things that I've got to iron out. And if anyone's got any solutions on how you deal with franchises, and how it is something that I've been talking to some of the business community about. I've spoken to the FSB, the Federation of Small Businesses. I've spoken to representatives from the Institute of Directors and from the CBI. And I've got two or three more appointments in the next month.
But even when you get the bill drafted, of course, those are.
Yes, absolutely.
Before it gets anywhere near legislation.
But will it
be a private member's bill, or will it get some... Are you hopeful that it still might get government time in Parliament?
If we can get it right, then I would tramp around the departments with it, because there are a number of departments who are interested in this, of course, who are affected. It's not just the Treasury. It's the Business Department. There's the Department of Communities and Local Government and various other ministers who are involved.
Your minister, you're a PPS to Vince Cable. He's supportive, I guess.
Yes, he is.
But in local government, I guess, less so, shall we say. Eric Pickles, perhaps, not likely to be terribly supportive.
Well, no, I mean, if Mr. Pickles could be persuaded that if we had a fair system, we wouldn't have to have large amounts of local authority time and some of the money sorted out, giving people discounts because they're small businesses and, you know, are they a mile from another similar business and are they a mile from this and do they do this and is their turnover that? It's an awful lot of admin that goes on at local authority. If we get it right, then we can stop local authorities having to worry about whether somebody gets a discount or not. Because if you're not charging business rates to small businesses, it doesn't matter whether they're 200 yards or 200 miles from the nearest competitor.
What do you reckon your chances are? Will you get government time? And whether you do or not, what chance does this bill, when you do finally formulate it, have of success?
I think it would have a huge amount of support in the House amongst MPs. It would be a popular move. I think a lot of people like me are approached by businesses in their area saying, you know, goodness me, this is madness. So I think if we can find the solution, then I would imagine it would have popular support. My view is that it's about negotiating with ministers. Government time, yes, possibly. If not, I would go down every route I possibly could.
Tessa Munt, concluding our report on business rates. You can support the e-petition to reform business rates by clicking the link alongside this report. If you'd like to comment on this report or if you have any suggestions for future reports, please get in touch via the Contact Us page on the website. This is Magnus Carter saying thanks for listening.